Iranian hackers posing as Hezbollah activists target Saudi Arabia, and Google disrupts a major Chinese influence operation. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 27th of January, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Thinxt, the makers of the much-loved Thinxt Canary. In today's top story, US and EU law enforcement agencies have seized the websites and infrastructure of the Hive ransomware as a service group. The US Department of Justice says the FBI gained access to the Hive's group servers in July last year and has maintained a presence in them ever since. Using this access, authorities obtained decryption keys for more than 1,300 Hive victims and gave them to affected organisations. Around 1,000 of these keys were tied to historical attacks, but 300 of them were obtained in real time. The FBI says this action thwarted up to $130 million US in ransom demands from the group. The action involves seizing infrastructure hosted in the Netherlands and Los Angeles and involved cooperation between American law enforcement, Europol, several European law enforcement agencies, and the US Secret Service. The Hive ransomware group began operating in June 2021, and the FBI says the group has since earned $100 million in ransom payments. No arrests or indictments were announced at the press conference. In other news, the US Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, says that workstations at two federal civilian agencies were hacked last year after employees got tricked into downloading legitimate remote access software onto their work computers. Despite gaining access to federal networks, the intruders didn't go after government data and instead focused on performing a refund scam to steal money from the employees' personal bank accounts. CISA says the intrusions appear to be part of a financially motivated phishing campaign that's been going on for months. Google has taken down more than 50,000 accounts across YouTube, Blogger, and AdSense that were linked to a Chinese influence operation called Dragon Bridge. Also known as Spamouflage Dragon, the group has been active since 2020 and has also operated bot networks on Twitter and Facebook as well. Now, despite the scale of the operation, Google says most Dragon Bridge accounts achieved almost no organic engagement from real users. The majority of Dragon Bridge YouTube channels had zero subscribers when Google disrupted them, and over 80% of Dragon Bridge videos had fewer than 100 views. Similarly, almost all Dragon Bridge blogger sites had received 10 or fewer views when they were removed in December 2022. The UK's National Cybersecurity Centre has issued a warning over spear phishing campaigns being carried out by threat actors based in Russia and Iran. Groups like the Russia-based Seaborgium and Iran-based Charming Kitten targeted UK organisations last year, and operations are still ongoing. The NCSC says targets at risk include academia, NGOs, think tanks, defence and government organisations, as well as politicians, journalists and activists. NCSC also says these operations differ from typical emailed malicious document campaigns. Instead, the threat actors contact victims on benign topics, establish a personal rapport with them, and only after they've earned the victim's trust, try to lure them to phishing sites or trick them into installing malicious apps. The Indian government has demoed the first version of its homegrown mobile operating system, a project called BarOS, which was funded by the government and built by the Indian Institute of Technology in Madras. BarOS is a modified version of Android that comes with no preloaded apps, doesn't track and share user data, and supports private app stores. At a press conference, officials also claim the OS is incapable of running malware, which we'll put in the category of huge, if true. Austrian police say a hacker who sold the personal details of more than 9 million Austrians on an underground hacking forum in 2020 has been arrested by Dutch police. The suspect was a member of the now-defunct Raid Forum, where he used the nickname DataBox to sell hacked data from a variety of victims. He was detained in November of last year by Dutch police at the request of the Austrian government. Dutch officials said they're also investigating the same suspect for dozens of other illegal activities on the internet. Denis Emeliantisev, a Russian national and the administrator of the RSOC's proxy for hire service, has pleaded guilty to two computer crime charges in a US court. Emeliantisev was detained while on vacation in Bulgaria in May last year, 2 weeks before authorities orchestrated a takedown of his botnet. He was extradited to the US late last year. And according to InfoSec reporter Brian Krebs, Emeliantisev faces a maximum of 20 years in prison and is scheduled to be sentenced on April the 27th. SecureWorks has linked a new hacktivist group named Abraham's Axe that appeared last year to the Iranian government-backed hacking group, despite the hacktivist claims they were operating on behalf of Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. We spoke to Rafe Pilling, senior security researcher at SecureWorks, about the group.
The SecureWorks Counter-Threat Unit has released new research into connections between the Moses Histaf hacktivist persona, which emerged in September 2021, and a new persona, Abraham's Axe, which emerged in November 2022. Moses Histaf has been documented a number of times in open source and focused on ransomware-style and hack-and-leak-style attacks on entities based in Israel, government entities, commercial entities, that sort of thing. Abraham's Axe emerged in November 2022 and has focused so far on Saudi Arabian government entities. When looking at the leak sites and other information distribution channels used by these two groups, we immediately noticed a number of strong similarities in their styles. Although the color schemes of the different websites align with the purported identities of the two different hacktivist groups, there are strong similarities in the iconography used, the illustration style, video assets used between the two groups to produce these flashy Hollywood-style hacking videos, and other similarities such as the use of WordPress, blogs, the use of the infrastructure, the use of the hosting providers, that kind of thing. Both of these groups we attribute to a threat group, an Iranian threat group we track as Cobalt Sapling. We're highlighting these similarities because there's very few technical indicators currently associated with the Abraham's Axe hacktivist persona, and therefore we believe that by looking at the tooling and the tradecraft associated with Moses' staff, some of the malware they've used, like the Strifewater Rat, and some of the disk crypto-based crypto wipers or ransomware-style malware that they've used, organizations can prepare themselves and defend against the sort of tradecraft that is likely behind some of the Abraham's Axe intrusions as well.
Cybersecurity firm Proofpoint says a North Korean APT group it tracks as TA-444 has recently implemented malware distribution methods that were initially used by run-of-the-mill cybercrime operations. Proofpoint says that over the last year, it's seen TA-444 hit targets with office files containing malicious remote templates, link shortcut files, ISO and MSI files, compressed HTML code, and virtual hard drives to install malware on their target systems. All of these are techniques that were popularized by financially motivated cybercrime groups, but TA-444 was quick to copy their tradecraft. This behavior goes against the grain when it comes to the threat landscape, as it's usually the cybercrime groups that adopt techniques from the more advanced APT operations. Proofpoint says TA-444's goal is likely just generating revenue for the North Korean government. Other security firms may track the group as APT-38, Bluenerov, or Stardust Chelima. Some of the source code of Russian search engine and IT software giant Yandex has been leaked on an underground cybercrime forum. The code contains the source for most major Yandex services such as search, maps, taxi, mail, market, travel, cloud, pay, and others. Several hard-coded credentials for Yandex cloud servers were also exposed in the leak. A Yandex spokesperson confirmed the authenticity of the source code and blamed the leak on a former employee. A particular detail in the leak is that all the files are dated February 24, 2022, the date of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. A threat actor going by the name of Zalastax has uploaded more than 20,000 JavaScript libraries to the NPM package repository. None of the scripts contain malicious code, but the sheer volume of the automated attack has flooded the repository with garbage content. MEN security researchers Tamir Ben Ari and Tom Abai says they reached out to the individual behind the attack, who said the package spam was a silly project with no purpose and done out of curiosity. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Thinkst Head of Labs, Jacob Torrey, introducing the company's latest feature, the credit card Canary token.
Hey, it's Jacob from Thinkst Canary. We just dropped a new type of Canary token, credit cards. Go to canarytokens.org, select credit card, and you'll get a unique, valid credit card that you can stick anywhere you store payment information, in your email server, etc., and get alerted if anyone ever tries to use that card. Totally free service at canarytokens.org. To learn more, check out our blog at blog.thinkst.com.
And that was Jacob Torrey from today's sponsor, Thinkst. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.